Chapter 103. They moved to Glen Ridge in early summer. Richie helped with the move. The sense of space was shocking. There was a backyard without gravel and glass in back of it. There was a football field that was ringed by a track. When they shook hands, Ron said, "I'm not losing touch with Newark." Richie shook his friend's hand warmly. "You will. Everybody who moves away does." "Not me," said Ron. "I know where I came from." "You still want to play football?" "Yes," said Ron. "Is your knee better?" "Sometimes, but I can't run the way I used to." "I could always beat you in a race," said Richie. "You always did," said Ron. It was goodbye to Newark and Ron's friends and everything that he understood. He wouldn't miss Jersey Catholic, but right now he missed Newark very much. His first walks were explorations that were filled with wonder. What struck him first was there were no smells. You didn't get a whiff of diesel when a bus rumbled its engine. The aroma of what your neighbors were cooking didn't waft out as you passed their windows. The houses were set too far back from the street for any of that. The lawns were manicured, and the wonder of flowers was everywhere. Ron had only seen flowers in a vase, or when he visited Rocky's sister, who had rose bushes. These flowers bloomed everywhere, and instead of diesel and cooking aromas, he sniffed their scent. Some streets were wide and some were narrow, but they were all quiet. A dog's bark rang out like a siren, but without its implications. Instead of streetlights, there were gas lights that glowed, but did not really illuminate. When Ron realized that he could walk to his father's house, he felt his heart beginning to race. It was a couple of miles, but he could do it, and wanted more than anything to be able to walk over and see him. Newark was a bus ride away, and when he took it back there, everything felt strange. He could feel Newark on his skin, and he wondered if it had always been there. When Harry Tuck found out that Ron had been in the hospital, he was shocked. It came in a phone call from Marjorie. "I thought you might want to know what is going on in your son's life, since you seem to take no interest at all in it."
"Don't start with me, Margie. What's going on with him?"
"He's been in the hospital. Not that you would care."
"Why was he in the hospital?"
Marjorie's voice was anguished. "Harry, he lost control and was shaking and twitching, and the doctor wanted to send him to a psychologist and said that he has an ulcer from stress."
"Jesus Christ, why didn't you tell me?"
"Because he said that he didn't want you to worry about him, and that when you weren't so busy that you would call. So I waited, and you didn't." Harry wiped his hand over his face. "How is he now?"
"He seems better. I don't know. I know that he misses you and would rather die than bother you."
"I'll stop by tonight."
"We don't live there anymore."
"What do you mean?" The surprise in Harry's voice caused a broad grin on her face.
"We have a house in Glen Ridge," she said with a swelling pride.
End of part 3.